Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill was the recent District 1 representative from the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, again, thank you for joining us today. Let me ask you a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the serious issue. Will Biden, President Joe Biden, remain in office? Will he be removed? Will he resign? Will he be removed before the election or after the election? Exactly what is the status of that? Congressman, tell us what you believe that's caused the serious inflation and food and gas shortage problem in America. Is it Putin?
No, it's not Putin, Dr. Youngblood. And it's intentional what is being done right now. The inflation is caused by an oversupply of money into our marketings, into our economy, which is done by the feds. They have been printing money like crazy, and then Congress has been spending money that they don't have. We see that with their bills coming out of Congress, passed all along party lines, primarily by Democrats, who are spending trillions of dollars. I mean, just within the past year, over $5 trillion, and raising our debt levels that are beyond belief, astronomical, almost to the point of no return, that we can't pay back that debt. And even paying the interest on the debt is very difficult. So it's intentional what they are doing, which is causing this inflation, which is causing the unemployment. Poor decisions by Democrats out of Washington, D.C., and also in the state of California, and getting even smaller in Los Angeles, where the ports are. Democrats making incredibly dumb decisions, which are causing supplies to be backed up on ships out there in the Pacific Ocean for things as silly as they couldn't offload the containers because they can only be stacked so high so that it won't destroy the scenery for people who live around there. And that truckers have to be vaccinated, or truckers have to meet certain union positions and goals before they're able to even move the supplies. It's a natural, it is a catastrophe that has been made by poor decisions by Democrats, which can all be fixed. And we saw it was fixed when President Trump was in office, letting the free market determine what happens, and not some leftist who are intent on pushing their theology of climate change and green energy and all this other nonsense with their woeful attempt to create a utopia, which you simply cannot do.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I see as a result of that, Congressman, and you correct me if I'm wrong or add to it from your thinking, I'm looking at an article that says, will America be hit with food shortages? Before I read an excerpt of that, We have even in the Biden administrations and the Biden cabal, those that are saying that we will have serious recession into 2023 and that there will be serious gas and food shortages in America. Now, they're admitting to that. In this article, dated April the 10th, America's at a time that no one alive, I believe, has ever witnessed. We have an illegal administration that is completely ignoring the responsibility of the federal government concerning protecting our borders. We had a system in place that was very effective, but all the precautions established by the last administration were abandoned. Now, the illegitimate president tells us that he doesn't know how the chaos at the border happened. We are also energy independent. The day of illegitimate president, our illegitimate president took office, and now he's begging our enemies, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, and others to sell us oil. Why are we sending our money to people that hate us for oil that is right under our feet? The Democrats are not aware, I guess, that the resources of the United States belong to we the people, not the government. And it's their job to see that we, the people, have access to those resources. And it goes on to talk about what is taking place. Further in the article, says we have a world's elite that are wanting to take control of every man, every woman, every child on the planet. It is about control. That is what the vaccines were about. That's what's taking place today with the shortages of the gasoline and the food products, etc. End quote. Goes back and quotes February 25th, 2009. Henry Kissinger stated, quote, once the herd accepts mandatory vaccinations, game over. They will accept anything, forcible blood or organ donation, for the greater good. We can genetically modify children and sterilize them for the greater good. Control sheep's minds and you control the herd. Vaccine makers stand to make millions, and many of you in this room are investors. It's a big win-win. We thin out the herd, and the herd pays us for the extermination of their in their services. Further, he states then different ones, and Henry Kissinger further says, control oil and you control nations, control food and you control the people. And he goes on to talk about that control factor. That was in back in 2009 when Henry Kissinger was making those statements. So the question is, can we say that Biden is the one that's going to cause the major collapse of our food system and the major collapse of the U.S. dollar?
Do it, Dr. Youngblood. As I say, this is intentional. And what is amazing is that we have these elites, not only around the world, but also the United States, who think that they are going to be insulated from the catastrophe that they are creating. They're not concerned about not having food on the shelves. They will get their food. They're not concerned about not being able to purchase gas because it's so expensive. They will be able to. But what they miss and what they don't see is that you are going to be impacted. You talk about thinning out the herd, you know, less people, less population. They talk about people as if they're animals, as if they're cattle or something right. like that, just thinning out the herd. But when you do that, who is going to do the work that's necessary to get food to you? Who is going to do the work to take care of the maintenance of your aircraft and of your expensive cars and of your yachts when you thin out the herd? It is going to affect you. And we have proof of that, Dr. Youngblood. It's in China right now, you know, for years, China had that very evil and sinister policy of one child only per household. And if there were more children, they would simply murder them. They would force sterilize women and men so that they couldn't have more children. It was evil. And now what they are seeing is that they have an aging population and not enough young people to be able to take care of those who are elderly. So now they've turned it around and said, have all the children you want. Have more, have more. That you cannot plan a society like that. God made man to be free. And he wants to put his Holy Spirit in free people. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not controlled by some oligarchy.
one of the things that we see in this big picture is the purposeful collapse of our economic system, purposeful collapse of our military system, the purposeful collapse of our societal system, and the purposeful collapse of the financial system in order to, as Biden uses the term, to build back better. And Congressman, you're very aware of that, that's a Marxist term. And you tell to build back better, you've got to destroy something and tear it down. We've got a caller on the line, but before I take the call, let me touch on this article. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm looking at an article that says, the global powers intend the next step to dethrone the U.S. dollar. And another article says, Saudi Arabia just triggered Armageddon for the U.S. dollar. Another article says, will Joe Biden oversee the collapse of the U.S. dollar? And we're watching with the overproduction printing of U.S. dollars that we flooded the market. And now we have nations around the globe that's backing away from the U.S. dollar as the petrocurrency. And as a result of that, we'll talk about it in just a moment, Congressman. What is that going to do to the U.S. dollar? Will it cause it to collapse? Will it cause it to have a greater value? What do we, the people, do then when you gasoline is $6, $8, $10 a gallon, when food prices are 30 to 40, 50% increase, and you have to make a choice between buying gasoline or buying groceries, and the U.S. dollar then absolutely collapses? What do we do as we, the people? How should we view it? We'll talk about that in just a moment. I believe we have Derwin on the line. Derwin, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I have a solution whereby everyone right now is trying to wait until the November elections. Well, by then, O'Biden and his gang of thieves will have really ruined every aspect of our life as we knew it. What we need to do is change Article 1 of the Constitution, whereby in the House of Representatives, a no-confidence vote is put forth for the government, even if it's newly elected. But the rest of Congress, the rest of the House, will then vote. If they vote no confidence, then we have to have in 60 days an entire election from president right on down to federal dog catcher. You know, any federal position has to be put up for vote. And in that way, you give the people an immediate. This deal where it's set out as it was at the forefathers, the transportation fastest was by horse. I mean, things have changed to where now the people can have news of these actions and take action within 60 days. They can reverse. If a government like O'Biden were to get in and pull his stunt on the pipeline to indicate just where he was going, we could have had a no-confidence vote, bring about an immediate election in 60 days, whereby he would be held accountable. The population, the working voting population, would only have to suffer for that brief period of time under O'Biden. As it's set up now, as they accepted in 1791 or whatever it was, the horse carried the news. We're beyond that. Let's get into the 21st century. It was our government. And thank you very much, Derwin.
Hold your thoughts for just a moment. Congressman, how do you respond to those statements? I'm in agreement with what he's saying, but I'm not that familiar with that amendment that he's speaking of. How does that work? Is that workable today, in your opinion?
I'll have to admit I'm not that familiar with it either, but I don't think it would work today simply because there are too many obstacles to make that happen. And there are too many people who are ignorant of our Constitution and its amendments, that they wouldn't understand how that would work. You know, even something as prominent as Article 5 in our Constitution, which allows us to hold a convention of states to amend our Constitution, so many people do not understand that whole concept and they're against it. Instead of using an instrument that was put in place for us by our founding fathers. So to enact something that would cause elections within 60 days at all levels, I don't think that because of not enough people knowing how that would work, that it would not work because they wouldn't even know how to participate. You know, right now, only around a third of our population even takes the initiative to go out and vote. And so it's not like we have this huge uprising of people who exercise their right to vote and to make the necessary changes that are there.
That's a good thought. Derwin, are you still there?
Explain
that to us a little better.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Explain that issue a little better for us.
Well, I respectfully disagree in that if you say there's only a third of the population that bothers to register to vote, and out of them, only, say, 10% bother to vote in an election, stop and think about it. Which 10% of the population is that? Those are the people that pay attention. So to have this country run by people who are concerned and everything and bother to vote and campaign, I don't think that's a bad thing. If the rest of the population have the chance to register and to vote and they don't do it, well, c'est la vie, c'est la guerre.
Well, I'm of the opinion that there is a grave problem, and again, I put my 2 cents worth in. I believe that before the election time, we're going to find the removal of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We will find the appointment of someone as VP first, a new VP. Then we'll find the resignation of Joe Biden based on health reasons. I don't believe he will allow them to go through the 25th Amendment, though they could. I believe that it will be a, quote, health reason that Joe Biden will retire. And then whoever they have appointed as VP, I believe would be Barack Hussein Obama or Hillary Clinton, will step to the scene and be the president. And then whichever of those two is not president will become the vice president. I believe we're looking at the very near future of a Obama Clinton presidency and vice presidency of both being unelected but appointed to the position. And I believe that's on the horizon. I believe that it could be very easily before the election because the Democrats see that they're going to be shellacked in the election, and then the Republicans take control. And then with that being done, Derwin, let me ask you, and then while the congressman is with us, asking the two of you to clarify something for me. Do you believe that what Biden has done already is an impeachable offense? And is it possible for that impeachable offense to take place under the guise of the leadership of a democratically led House, or will they simply not carry that out? What are your thoughts on it?
My thoughts are that because it is a democratically held House, that it won't happen. However, I'm going to point to the November elections with this thought. The greatest part of the responsible people in this nation, those that get out and work and pay taxes, if the elections are as rigged as the last ones were, I'm just going to predict that between there and the time they're supposed to be sworn in, martial law will be declared, and then the guns will come out. And that's all I got to say about that.
All right. That sounds good to me. I think that you're probably right on target. Derwin, thank you for calling. As I tell all of our listeners today, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28 tells us that. and it's based on what we see taking place. In fact, in the Luke 21 text, it says when these things are happening, that men's hearts will fail them as a result of seeing what's taking place. Congressman, I'm looking at an article that says the Biden family scheme is unraveling. Do you think that this will really unravel? I understand there's a court that's listening to all of the evidence in Delaware of the Hunter Biden. Yet Hunter Biden's dad, Joe Biden, says that Hunter has done nothing wrong. Yet Bob Alinsky says that Joe Biden is the big man that's referred to in Hunter Biden's laptop and all of the hundreds of millions of dollars that they took in from China and Russia. What are your thoughts on, do you think all this will come to a head? I'm noticing, in fact, one of the statistical data articles that I read said about 30% of the Democrats today, about 30% of the Democrats believe that Joe Biden is going to get wrapped up in this, and that that same 30% believe that Joe Biden should not have been elected based on this knowledge had it been publicized. Tell us your thoughts on that, Congressman.
Well, it's interesting, Dr. Youngblood, that everyone, I won't say everyone, but this Biden cabal, which was essentially laundering money and using his position as vice president to obtain tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for himself, yes, and his family, that was known before the election.
Yes.
Maybe not by a large group of people, but it was known. And the press tried to suppress it. Our Pravda media tried to suppress it by calling it Russian misinformation and so forth. Kind of like Biden is trying to blame inflation on Russia and Putin right now. It's nonsense. Mm-hmm. And anyone with an iota of sense can see that it is not being caused by Putin or Russian misinformation. And they continue to spew the lies. The thing is, the Biden cabal, his family, should be held accountable. Everyone knows that. But so should have the Clinton crime family. That mm-hmm. should have been held accountable. And this whole thing of spying on a candidate, spying on President Trump, and then even after he was president, continued as spying, everyone knows that Obama was behind that and be held accountable. For some reason, our justice system in America is not holding these criminals accountable. So I believe they should be. Do I have any hope that they will? I don't know. But my hope in that is low right now based on what we've seen them get away with in the past.
Yes. One of the things when we talk about the justice system that touches in my mind on the thought about 400 prisoners now in jail in D.C. Without a speedy trial because of the open doors in the Capitol of January the 6th. As a result of that, they've been in jail now for a year and a half and without a trial, being maltreated, mistreated. And Congressman, one of the things that's dilemmatizing for me, I hear very little, if any, coming out of the mouth of any Republican candidate about the wrong that's being perpetrated upon citizens where they're just kept in prison. They're political prisoners, and I believe that ought to come to a head. But one of the things I'm looking at along with that, I'm looking at an article that says, Biden's resignation, a great reset. Scott Lively says, reaffirming his belief that Barack Hussein Obama will return to the presidency. Speculation is rife. The elites are about to dump Joe Biden, given the corporate media have begun to turn against him, and the deep state is allowing the Hunter Biden laptop to go fully public. Some have further speculated that they intend to put Barack Obama back into the White House. He goes further, says, I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, I was the first one. This is Scott Lively, April 11th, 2022. I was the first one to suggest that a reinterpretation of the 22nd Amendment could become the vehicle to put Obama back into the presidency. The scenario where Obama would be called out of retirement and retake the world stage, returning him to the White House by whatever sequence of resignation and appointments and resignations that would work best to retire Biden minimize Harris' presidency and to place Obama back on the throne. The battle would most certainly go to the Supreme Court, where conveniently Obama's main man, John Roberts, the guy who killed all the pro-Trump election fraud lawsuits, is still Chief Justice, end quote. So I believe that we're watching the unraveling. I'm in agreement with that, the unraveling based on this laptop. But I believe also that we have two tiers of justice in America, and it's as a result of Merrick Garland being the DOJ head of the, I mean, Attorney General head of the DOJ. Merrick Garland's not going to do anything but what Biden wants him to do. Congressman, hold one moment. I believe we have Derwin back on the line. Derwin, go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I got a comment. Everybody's danced all around it, but I'm going to come out and lay it on the line. Joe Biden is a traitor, period.
Yes, I agree.
In all definitions, he is a traitor to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much.
Derwin, I agree with that. Congressman, how do you respond to that statement?
I agree. I agree that he is a traitor and he has committed treason.
Yes.
And he has committed impeachable offenses. I know you mentioned that earlier, Dr. Youngblood. We can look at many different areas, but the border is just one of them, where he is intentionally removing restraints on the border, allowing people to come into this country, and then not only that, busing and flying them into different states, to different counties.
Yes.
It's outrageous what he is doing. When, as president, he is charged with securing our borders, with securing the safety of this nation. He's not doing that at all. We have this invasion of people coming in who are terrorists, who are drug traffickers, sex trafficking, all of that. Just looking at the border alone is an impeachable offense. And if Republicans would stand up and say so loudly, even if they don't think they can get it done, they still need to start beating that drum.
I'm in agreement with that. Congressman, got about 45 seconds left on the broadcast today. Even though the storms are dark, the storms are dangerous and very devastating on the horizon, I believe as every Christian, we need to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ has power and authority over the storms, according to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and following. Speak to that for about 15, 20 seconds before we close.
Well, we know this. When we call upon our God, He hears and answers our prayers. And like it says in Nehemiah 4:20, God will fight for us.
Yes.
He will. We call upon him and he will fight for us. And like the three Hebrew boys said, God will save us. But even if he doesn't, hear this, O King, we will not bow down to you. And that needs to be our stance as Christians today.
Amen.
Call upon God. He will save us and he will fight for us.
Amen. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.